Hi, I'm Jeffrey van Gogh, and this is Bart de Smet. And today we want to talk a bit about System Interactive. You heard a lot about Rx and System Reactive. Today we want to talk a bit more about System Interactive. So Bart, why don't you give a bit of introduction to System Interactive?
Okay, so when we actually did like System.Reactive, which is the observable stuff, like came to the conclusion there is that strong duality we talked about quite a bit between observable and IEnumerable. Where one is actually push-based and the other one is pool-based. And it turns out there's quite some similarities and quite some operators that actually make sense in both cases. Like prototypical ones are, of course, like where and select and all of those. But then we also have new operators in reactive that actually can be backported, if you will, to system.interactive. And so that's what we're actually going to show today.
Great. So let's dive into some of these.
Okay.
Let's start with some simple ones. Let's talk a bit about do and run.
So one of the things people always want to do with like an enumerable sequence is actually evaluate it on the spot. Like, and one way to do that is like to array or to list. But if the sequence is infinite, that doesn't work, of course, because then you're like running out of memory.
Yeah, and also if it does not infinite, you're still wasting memory by
exactly because
the data.
You're persisting the thing and whatever. And so what you simply want to do is like some for loop that doesn't contain anything to see like the side effects by your enumerable or actually do some action for all of the individual items in the enumerable. So do is one of those operators that actually keeps laziness. So you can actually tag do at any query operator and say, at this point, you know, when you suck something out of the left-hand side of the operator, I actually want to have a side effect that the value is actually passed in.
Okay,
so maybe we should show that.
Let's code it up. So if you want to look at side effects, it needs to be something that is has side effects. So an array or list won't have side effects. So let's implement some side effects with a yield pattern. So let's write that first. So we have IEnumerable. Let me add that using statement here of int side effect. So what we are going to do is do some console.write line. Test yield return 1 console.write line. More testing yield return 2. Okay, so
I think we need to make it static, right?
Yes, let's make that static. Okay, so we're going to... That's not still not happy.
Collections.generic.
Ah, yes. Okay, so let's try to use this. So before we'd have to write a for loop over this, but now we can use run. So side effect dot run. Okay,
so, so run effectively is a for each loop that simply drains the iterator.
And that's probably how it's implemented too, right?
Yep.
Okay, so let's take a look at this. So we hit Ctrl F5. We see test and more testing, but we don't see any of the 1 and 2 being displayed. So we could
show,
show 1 and 2. So run, there's two overloads, one that takes an action of whatever the type is of the enumerable. So let's do console.writeline here. And if we run it now, I need to type that correctly. Ctrl F5. You'll see that the results are interleaved with the
and that's
side
exactly the same as having a for each loop at this console write line. The elements. Right.
Now you were talking about do.
Yep.
And if we look at do, the signature, it takes an enumerable and an action. But it also returns an enumerable. So if I just do console.writeline here, and I try to run this, nothing will happen.
It's still lazy, right?
It's still lazy. So what happens here, it's a mechanism for injecting side effects into the enumerable. So now I'd have to do another run here to actually execute those side effects. So let's take a look at that. And there we have the same behavior.
So that's very handy for debugging, I guess, because like if you have a long sequence of like operators like where and select and group by and order by, you want to see the results and the intermediate stages, you can actually inject like do console write line or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, and of course, like you could even write the fancy UI that shows you how the enumerable flows through by using these two statements. Cool. So let's dive into something that's an observable that's to do with primitives that's not in enumerable.
Oh yes, like in observable we have things like return, I guess, like which is simply like an observable that triggers once and actually raises one event.
Okay.
And in enumerable we always do that like by creating a single element array. So now we also have enumerable.return.
Yep, so let's try that. So we do so everything that's in interactive is in enumerable EX. You cannot have multiple extension methods in different types if they're in different assemblies. There's partial classes in C#, but types cannot span assemblies. So we had to put everything in enumerable EX instead of enumerable.
And that lives in system.interactive.dll, right?
Yes. Yep. So enumerable EX, there is a return property here. It takes a value, and it returns an enumerable of that value. So if we were to say 1, and I have an enumerable, and if we do run console write line on that, it should return a single value here.
Thank you for practicing too much.
Yep, that's what it does.
Okay. So I guess like return is like the simplest thing to like do list concatenations, right? You start with an atomic value and then you sort of do consoles in Lisp to sort of, you know, add things to it, like an atomic value and an enumerable of T.
Yep.
So do we also have something to like append to a list in the front of it?
Yes. Let's start with. It's kind of interesting. Like in functional programming languages, you usually say the thing you want to start with plus the list. In IntelliSense, it doesn't work well because then you would have that function on every type. Like it would be an object and every.
Yeah, you would do like
it
an
would
extension
show
method on T, right?
Yes.
Because T is the generic parameter. And
it would show up everywhere in .NET, so that's not great. So instead, what we did is we did it on the enumerable, and you say that the existing enumerable starts with another value.
Okay.
So return 1 is now an enumerable, so we can start it with something else. So if I just sort of start with 0, and now if we run this,
we'll see 0, 1.
Yep. So that's another primitive that we have. Another primitive that we should talk about is throw.
Okay.
And that sounds maybe like a weird primitive because enumerables normally don't throw, but they can. And like you can show that here in like the, if we look at our side effect enumerable, like we do yield return now, but I could have easily do a throw statement here.
Yep.
Throw new exception.
And so the important thing is that like if you call the side effect method just, you know, you just do a plain call and you don't iterate over it, you won't see that side effect, right?
Yes.
It's delayed till the point like you do like to move next in this case.
So if I were to do side effect.run, just like, so because we iterate over all elements of the enumerable, we'll hit the exception eventually.
Yep.
So if I run this, it crashes because there's an exception.
Uh-huh.
So exceptions play a part in enumerable just as much as they do in observable. So there's a primitive that throws an exception as well. So I could say observable dot, oh, sorry, not observable.
Enumerable.
ex.throw new exception. And here it's interesting because it needs to be enumerable of something, so you need to specify of what type it is. Even though you throw an exception, you need to say what kind of enumerable it is. So in this case, I want to make an enumerable of int.
We're not creating an enumerable of exceptions, obviously.
Yes. So now when I try to iterate over this, this will immediately throw once
at
I
the
iterate.
Point we do the first move next internally.
Exactly. Okay, so that are those are the primitives. Given that we talked a bit about throw, maybe you could like write on the board some theory about the materialized and dematerialized operators,
sure.
Those
magical
operators.
Yep. Exactly. So like it's the case that like what actually happens in an observable is we have either like you produce a value or you go to completion state or you actually throw an exception. So like we have three different cases sort of to consider there, and when you look at the iObserver interface, you will actually see all of those things there. Like so, if you do iObserver of T, you actually have three methods there. One is called onNext, which takes in a T,
So that's the next value that's actually produced. Then we have onCompleted. Oops. Or is it onComplete?
It's onCompleted.
onCompleted. Okay. And then we have onError, which takes in an exception. Like this. And so what we actually can do with this is like we can produce like a sequence here of types that actually contain like the next value, the completed state, or the exception. So we can actually sort of flatten that whole thing into like objects that contain either the value, the completion state, or the exception.
So instead of using different methods to signal the differences,
exactly,
you can signal that carries what kind of messages.
Yeah, so actually we're sort of going from code to data in some sense, mm-hmm. right? We're sort of translating that. So what we actually get there is something called notification of T. And then we have actually types that actually represent the value for like next, one that's for completed and one that's for error. So you can actually dematerialize and materialize, meaning that you either go from like the three different methods that are being called to like those atomic values that contain all the information, or you can go in the opposite direction. So you can actually translate back and forth. Mm-hmm. That's what the materialize and dematerialize operators do.
Okay. So how does this play in with enumerable? Because like you're mm-hmm. talking about observables here.
Yeah, exactly. So in an iterator or in any sequence that we've actually created using throw and return and start with, you can actually have exactly the same states. So like on next actually means yield return of t. So mm-hmm. you're actually producing a value. Completed is actually when move next says false and you've actually reached the end. Or actually in an iterator you do yield break, you actually complete the iterator. And then on error is whenever you do move next call and that throws an exception. Okay. So at that point actually it can be materialized as like an exception record, a notification that actually says at this point we had an exception. And then when we actually continue, we can talk about exception handling on enumerables as well.
All right.
So maybe we should give like a sample on how we can materialize and dematerialize some sequence.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take a look at our side effect function that now throws an exception. So mm-hmm. we're going to call that function. And now we're going to call materialize on that.
Yep.
And then we'll do console.run mm-hmm. console.writeline.
And so maybe we should take a look at the types here, right?
Because
yes. like side effect sure. returns int.
So side effect is enumerable of int.
Mm-hmm.
And materialize, let's look at the end here.
Yeah, there
it will return an enumerable of notification of int.
Mm-hmm.
So it returns a different type. So let's quickly look at notification in the object browser. I think that's in system. Sorry.
In the collections.
It's collection. Yeah. Notification. So you see that there's different notifications mm-hmm. for each of the different types of messages. And there's an enum notification kind, which has exactly those three values. And then on notification itself, there is a property current, which will give the current value and the kind of notification.
Yep.
So now let's go back to our sample. So let me modify this a bit so you can actually see a bit more details from notification. So I'll mm-hmm. get a notification, and then I'll write line
the kind.
So let's say n.kind.
Mm-hmm.
I need another parenthesis there. There. Okay, so let's run this. So mm-hmm. the side effects will just get to the console, and then we'll see 1, 2, and an exception.
Yep, and 1 and 2 are next records, and the exception is an error record.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. And then, of course, there's an implicit on completion to once
exactly.
the enumerable is done. So let's run that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's our side effects, and then uh-huh. on next on error.
Yep.
On error means that it doesn't complete, it fails. So it's either on
exactly.
error or on completed.
Mm-hmm.
So now we didn't get
the completed is like the friendly return, right?
Yes. Yep. So now you see that we didn't get the exception thrown, but we could mm-hmm. actually reason about the exception
exactly.
because we saw there was an error. So why would you use materialize? There's a lot of places where if you implement these operators yourself, it's very, very useful to use materialize mm-hmm. because you don't have to worry about all the different cases, because you just get a notification, and only at the places where you really mm-hmm. care about
what it is, you can look at the kind.
Exactly.
For instance, if you want to implement a cache, like you don't want to have to cache a separate cache for the exception, a separate cache for the values. Now you just have a cache of notifications, and it figures out itself that it was an error or on the next.
Yep. And so, of course, we need to be able to go back. Like, I imagine it's something like you go to the materialized world and you sort of play with it, and you maybe change objects or drop certain objects, and then you have a new sequence of like notifications, and you want to go back to like the natural kind of flow.
Exactly, and that's pretty easy. So I'm just going to remove this quickly. And now, after materialize, we could have done something, and now I can say dematerialize.
Yep.
And you'll see, if you look at the type, it takes a notification, an enumerable notification of int, and it returns an enumerable of int.
Yep.
So it removes notifications out of the picture.
So that's exactly the opposite.
Yes. Yep. So now when I run this, we'll get the exception, again. So one, two, crash.
So one thing we could do is, like, for example, put a where in between and say, like, where the kind is an exception, don't do anything or something.
Sure.
Like to filter them out.
Or if you're only interested in exceptions, you could say where n arrow n dot kind not equal to notification kind dot on next.
Yeah.
So we don't care about anything but exceptions.
Mm-hmm. Or completion state.
Or completion, yes. Yeah. So now we crash immediately. We still get the side effects because
we're
iterating. We're just
iterating over
it.
Them. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So that was some dematerialized and materialized magic. Let's go talk about some binary operators. Let's talk about merge.
Yep.
So merge is interesting because it interleaves different streams into one single stream.
So it's similar to concat, but like they run in parallel.
Yes. So how does it work? Can you?
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Let's do another picture. Actually. Yeah.
Sure.
Get rid of the existing ones. So, like, some of those operators actually introduce, like, concurrency, whereas others actually simply operate on a single thread of execution. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, where doesn't introduce concurrency. But, like, merge is a different one that actually has a signature that takes in a collection i-numerables of t, I believe, or in...
Yes, there's multiple overloads. There's one that takes two
takes
enumerables.
Takes an array and a params and all of that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So we actually take in the sources here, like this, and we'll actually reduce this, or flatten it, if you want, to an enumerable of t. And so the idea is that here you have multiple of those enumerable of t's, and what you're actually going to do is, like, run them actually in parallel. So, like, if I actually draw this, like, different lines here of enumerables, say four, like this, they may start producing values at certain points because you call move next and you may be blocked till a certain point in time when the thing actually produces a value. So while those things actually produce values at some points, the merge operator actually collects them and actually surfaces them on the output line. So in fact, all those guys are running in parallel, and at certain points values are coming in from any of those. But if you want to do that manually, it becomes kind of hard because if you call move next, you're blocked. So this thing needs to introduce concurrency so that the things can actually run in parallel and the results can actually be merged in a single sequence here.
Okay, and then, of course, it should also still maintain the pattern of enumerable that it blocks until the next message comes in.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep. And, like, some other interesting things here is that... the enumerable that comes out of merge, it only completes its iteration once the last one completes its iteration.
Exactly. So, because of course we need to know, like, there is no potential anything left in the output sequences. So, like, if this thing completes here, this thing will signal its own completion over here.
Yep.
So in order to make sure that if there is a value over here, of course we still need to catch it.
Exactly. Yep. And then for exception, the opposite actually holds. The first moment one of the inputs throws an exception, the output will send through that exception and not produce any values anymore.
So then we get something like this, and all of those get cancelled at this point, right? Because here an exception happened, this thing will throw the exception, and then the other ones, you know,
can't produce meaningful values anymore because you can only have one single exception.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so keep talking about exceptions. Another interesting operator to talk about is retry.
Yep.
So retry, what it does, it tries to walk over the enumerable, and if it hit an exception, it will try to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Might sound a bit weird, because like if enumerable is throwing an exception, who says it won't throw an exception the next time?
Yep.
The reason is that is like the difference between hot and cold enumerables.
Mm-hmm.
And what we mean by that is that a hot enumerable is something that already exists, an array or a list, and their retry is really not that useful.
Yeah, but they have persisted essentially in memory.
Exactly. Yeah. Cold enumerable is what they mean with like, when you write an enumerable using the yield pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So it only starts evaluating as you start iterating over the enumerable.
And there may be dynamic conditions in there that actually say in this particular circumstance, like I'm going to throw an exception.
Exactly.
If you retry it might not throw the exception.
Imagine that your iterator does some network connection,
mm-hmm.
and the first time it cannot find the host, and the second time it will find the host.
Mm-hmm.
So what retry does, it will try enumerating. If it fails, it will try it again.
Yep.
And then you can also pass in a max amount of retries.
Okay.
So let's take a look at that.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm going to modify my side effect slightly. That I'm going to create a counter here. Set a counter. 0. And every time I increment the counter. And then if counter is less than 2, I'll throw that exception. And otherwise, I'll yield return.
And there's a value.
Yep.
Okay, so let's try this. So if I just run this, let me insert a dot. If I just run this program, it should fail after iterating 2.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. So let's try fixing it with retry. So we say retry dot retry, and let's say we try it 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's see what the behavior is. So it went from 1, 2, then it crashed. So it started iterating again, of course, because it iterates again, you'll see the side effects happen mm-hmm. again as
and
well.
And the side effects may, of course, be different.
Yes, 1 and 2.
Happens. Yeah.
And then the counter is at the right place,
mm-hmm.
And it goes to 3, and it completes successfully.
Okay.
So that's retry.
So that's actually all sorts of exception handling primitives. Maybe you should also take a look very, very briefly at some other exception handling primitives you have there.
So one of the exception handling that we have is catch. It's mm-hmm. very much like catch in C#. So on here, I could say instead of retry, dot catch.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the signature, it takes 2 generic type parameters, the source, which already inferred by what the source of the mm-hmm. source enumerable was, and then an exception. So here I can, just like how you can say catch argument null exception or any other exception, uh-huh. you can specify which type of exception you want to catch.
Okay.
So in this case, I want to catch exception, because
exception.
I'm throwing exception. And now I can pass in a handler
mm-hmm.
that will take the exception and it will produce a new enumerable that it will continue with.
Okay, so if an exception occurs, it actually swaps like to that new thing that actually the function has produced. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I can say E, and then I can do something new. So in this case, let's say mm-hmm. enumerable EX.return. And this needs to be of the same type as the original observable, of course.
And the result is, in this case, an IEnumerable of int again.
Yes. Yeah. Let's make this a different number so you can actually mm-hmm. see that it happened. So let's try to run this. So 1, 2, it throws an exception, and then it switches to
the new
enumerable, which only yields 9.
Okay.
Another exception primitive that we have is onError resume next.
Mm-hmm.
VB people probably have a big grin on their face now. So onError resume next, what it does is it will go on with the next enumerable that you pass in,
mm-hmm.
whether the source gives an error or not.
Yeah.
So if I say only error and zoom next, enumerable ex.return 9 again, or 9.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether regardless if there was an exception, it will concat. It's like continue. A concat,
yeah.
Regardless if there was an exception or not.
Yeah.
And I can click here on that. So mm-hmm. It throws 9 now, and if I
if
comment this out.
If you throw an exception, you will get 1, 2, 3,
1, 2, 3, 9. 9.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, so that's exception handling.
Uh-huh.
Let's dive into some functional programming stuff.
Yes.
So how about we start with scan?
Okay.
And maybe you can draw that on the board again.
Yeah, exactly. So one thing we already had in Link before is this primitive called aggregates, from which you can actually derive things like sum and product and like average and all of those. But sometimes you also want like running sums.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, if you have an enumerable of t as the input, and you actually have like a function that can combine, and now I'm actually using a very specific overload that actually takes in two t's and produces an r. So it actually takes a t and an r, excuse me, and it produces an r. Then I can actually produce an enumerable of r here. And so the idea is like, so this is the input and that's the output, like this. So starting from a sequence like, for example, 1, 2, 3, 4, together with a function that actually goes from an individual element to the running sum that I'm creating here, mm-hmm. I produce like the next value in my output. So this function would actually be something like I, comma, the accumulator goes to I plus the accumulator. And then I have the new accumulated value. So in this particular case, of course, it will start from the default of t. In this particular case, it will be 0. But you could also start with a certain seed. Then mm-hmm. you actually have to pass in like the first value here. But so the output of this sequence will actually be 1, 1 plus 2, like this, gives me 3. Then the next thing will be 3 plus 3, gives me 6. 6 plus 4 gives me 10. And so we always call that function internally, getting the next value and adding it to the accumulator. And awesome. So, yeah.
And you can see that the signature is almost the same as aggregate, right?
Exactly.
The only difference
aggregate,
is the return
this thing
type.
would be gone, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't
we'll
have
just
an
return
enumerable.
R.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Get the single
value.
The last value here. Yep. Awesome. So now that we're talking about functional stuff,
mm-hmm.
Can you talk me a bit about these magical let and publish operators?
Yeah, sure. So those are actually the most fascinating ones in some sense, because you have those side effects everywhere. Or you can have side effects, and sometimes you don't want to duplicate the side effects.
Mm-hmm.
Because, say, if you have an iterator that actually goes out to the network and asks certain things, well, you may actually want to use that same enumerable in many places.
Mm-hmm.
So, say that I have an enumerable of t, and I've obtained it from somewhere, and now I want to reuse this guy. So, say that this thing is called access, so it gets things somewhere from the network, and let's actually make it very concrete, an int, just like the one we've actually shown before, the side-effecting one.
Sure.
If you reuse this thing in multiple places, like you do access.where or something, and then you will actually do like run on this thing, and then you do something else, like access.select, and you do run on this thing, so I'm actually having multiple consumers and one producer, then every time you do run here, well, you've actually created a new lazy sequence here that depends on this lazy sequence. So every time you do run, you will actually reevaluate the side effects that this guy actually might have while it's producing values. So with let and publish, you can actually start making this thing, not duplicating the side effects anymore.
Okay.
So let actually is simply a substitution pattern. So let is actually the same as what you have in functional languages. They do something like let x be y in z. Well, that actually means that I have an expression z in which I can use x multiple times,
mm-hmm.
but this evaluation of y only happens once over here.
Sure.
Now, in C-sharp, that's kind of different because you sort of have that, lazy sequence setting there. You will reuse it multiple times and you're duplicating the side effects. So it's more like a substitution pattern where you sort of say, like, I will assign something to access that comes from some method call like my side effects, like this. And then, you know, multiple times I'm using it, it will actually redo the side effect. So you also want to have some capability to sort of keep those values. Like, mm-hmm. if the first one runs over it, well, it actually will do the side effects, but it can also keep the values in some kind of cache so that the next time this guy starts iterating, it actually goes through the cache and doesn't duplicate the side effects.
Okay.
So the idea is to sort of, you know, come from access, which is actually an IEnumerable of ints, or an IEnumerable of t in general, and then internally here we'll have some kind of cache, and then all the consumers that are actually attached to this will basically, you know, consult the cache, and if there is some value that has not been retrieved from the source yet, it will actually go through the source. So for example, if those two were running in parallel or something, or, you know, they were going at their own pace in some sense, like access.where, the first time like you actually do something with access, it would actually call to the original IEnumerable, get the value, for example, 1, and produce it here. But then, like, if select comes around, and actually its cursor is still at the very beginning, it starts iterating, well, then it will already find that 1 and can actually produce that 1 immediately without going back to the source. So, like, there will be a single cursor over the original source here so that we don't duplicate the side effects when actually we pull things out of that 1.
Awesome.
Okay, so well, maybe we can show that
yeah,
one as well.
Let's, yep. let's go try that out in the code. So we have our side effects.
Mm-hmm.
I pointed out the exception for now. Let's not worry about those. So I'm going to remove some code here. So I'm going to assign side effect to some variable, access equals side effect. And now if I do access.run, mm-hmm. I'm first going to show like the side effects happening twice.
Yep.
So access.run, and let's not do another access.run.
And of course, you could make it more complicated.
Yeah, let's do
by additional operators.
X arrow console.writeline.
Yep.
X times 2.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Yep.
There we go.
Okay.
So now if I run this, we'll see that our side effects of console.writeline happen mm-hmm. twice. So now let's try using publish. So let's modify this code a bit. So now I say dot publish.
Mm-hmm.
And this takes a function from IEnumerable to new IEnumerable.
Yeah. And so that's sort of the body of my let clause that mm-hmm. I sort of draw on the whiteboard here, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So now we want to use this twice. So let's say wise arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we're going to write our code.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So we make this wise, I guess.
Wise.
Yep. So now internally in this block we actually use wise, and that's something that won't duplicate the side effects.
Mm-hmm.
We have control here, right?
Yes.
And I think we need to return some IEnumerable of result here because yeah.
Exactly. So what should we return here? Let's return wise.
Well, let's return wise again, right? So somebody else might actually use it on the outside.
Yep.
Again. Okay.
Okay. So let's
and I think we need to run the publish as well.
Yes. So there we go.
Okay.
So let's try that.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Here our side effects only happen once, but the results come out from both streams.
Yeah. So the first call to run inside the method body actually caused the side effects because it drained the whole queue or
yep.
the whole iterator. And then the second one actually worked off the cached values.
Yep. Yeah. And then there's a couple of overload to publish that make you influence the an initial value, so you mm-hmm. can already put some data in there.
Yeah.
And then there's some other methods, like, let me see, I always have to look up the exact name.
Mm-hmm.
Replay,
okay.
That is like publish, but it allows you to specify a buffer size.
Okay.
So publish will give all values to all mm-hmm. the subscribers, and replay it will by default only give the values that haven't been seen yet to all of the subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also provide a buffer of how many back you also want to pass in.
Okay. Yeah.
So replay is very similar to publish, mm-hmm. but it has a buffer that yeah. plays in.
And so, yeah, if you take a look at publish can actually, you know, for an infinite sequence, publish, like if you drain it completely, of mm-hmm. course, it will accumulate a buffer.
Yes.
Okay.
Great. Well, there's a lot of different operators in mm-hmm. System Interactive.
Yeah.
I hope you like them. Go play with them. Give us feedback mm-hmm. on the RX forum. And we'd be happy to add more stuff if you think there's more operators that are useful.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.